God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the second day of June 2010, and you're listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. Our sermon is taught by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, as he continues in his Studies in Joshua series. It is entitled, First Things First. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Hey, we're going to be at Joshua chapter 6. You can remain standing, and we'll go ahead and read God's Word. If you want to remain standing, Joshua chapter 6. We'll do our Bible reading tonight since you're already up. Joshua chapter 6, as we continue on. Joshua 6, going to pick it up in verse 17. In our continual study here in the book of Joshua, I'll give you a second there to find that. Victory at Jericho. Very appropriate. The fight is on. Amen. Amen. Verse 17, we'll pick it up. It says, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed saying, lest you make yourselves a curse, when you take of the accursed saying and make the camp of Israel curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, young, old, and ox, and sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass and iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Lord, thank you once again for the reading of your word. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, it gives us great comfort, great direction, great strength to at any time that we need it, Lord, we are able to pick it up and read it. We thank you for preserving it, Lord, and to each generation, including ours, so we can have great confidence in the word that we are reading. And now as we look at this great symbolism, Lord, of the victorious Christian life through the life of Joshua and the children of Israel going into Canaan land, I pray, Lord, that these principles would ring true in our life. And Lord, it would be an encouragement to us to fight the good fight, and the Lord to win the victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're in the second part here of Joshua chapter 6. Last week, Jericho was defeated. Boy, that first great city, and it was a biggie. And they went in, and the walls fell down, and boy, everybody went in and wiped out men, women, ox, children. Everything was utterly destroyed. No record of any loss from the Israelites. Once again, showing God's mighty hand upon their life. Well, that was the battle. We went into the different aspects of the battle and to use the right weapons for the battle and how, boy, the weapons they used, boy, just weren't the weapons you'd normally use for a battle. Just like the weapons we use aren't the normal weapons you use to fight off temptation and sin and different things like that. And we talked a little bit about that. So we ended at that point, and I wanted to pick up the rest of the story here. And I've titled the message, First Things First. You say, why first things first? Well, I think it's interesting here that as they go in and they're fighting the battle, Joshua gives some very particular instructions even before they go. So even before they're going into battle, Joshua gives these instructions, and it's very important to them. It's very important that these instructions are followed completely. One instruction that was given was, hey, make sure, first of all, that everything's literally wiped out except for the vessels of gold and silver and brass. Those are going to be given unto the Lord. We're going to get into it next week a little bit as we get into chapter 7. But he said, I don't want anybody taking anything because the first things belong unto God. Okay, so these things are God's. Nobody take anything. And then he says, oh, by the way, there's Rahab. And actually called her to the harlot's house. He says, by the way, go in and get her out. Make sure she's safe. Well, why is he doing that? Well, you remember there's a promise that was made. And in the earlier chapter, a couple spies went in and Rahab had spared their lives, had saved them. And they had made a promise to her that said this, if you're in the house and there's that scarlet thread there, everyone in your house will be okay. And so the promise was there. And so Joshua didn't forget. Oh, they could have turned their head. They could have not said anything, could have wiped her out. They said, no, no, no. You see, this woman basically was a proselyte now. She had sided with the Israelites. She is now coming over to their side. She's now going to be part of their tribe. Matter of fact, we read at the time of the writing of this book, which wasn't too long after this, she was still there. She said she's still living among them. She was accepted into the tribe. I began to look at this. I began to look at these aspects that are all related here. And I began to think about this. And I want to begin with the important aspect. And I've just titled this message, First Things First. As they're going into battle and they're preparing for the battle, Joshua would remind them that there were some very important things that had to take place. The most important thing, as we just kind of reviewed real quick, was this. This city belongs to God. Now we're going in. Now understand, they've been traveling for 40 years in the wilderness. They've not had a lot of things. Okay, now they've had manna. Clothes have stayed really good because God preserved them only by the grace of God. But they've not had all the pretty clothes. They've not had all the gold. They've not had all the silver. They didn't have all the pretty brass and all the things that you'd want. And they're going into a city that seems to be rich and full of these things. And it's their first battle. And when you go into battle, you have to understand, if you win the battle, you get the spoils. That's the exciting thing about winning a battle. You go in, and so if you beat somebody, you get their horse. You get their land. You get everything. That's how battles go. You control it from that point on. That's why you're the victor. The spoils go to the victor. It was customary even back then. So you're going in. You're excited going, first battle. Man, adrenaline's pumping, and you're ready to go in. But then all of a sudden, the message comes. But wait a minute. When the battle's over, you get nothing. What? Nothing. Well, we're fighting a battle. Yeah, actually, God's fighting it, and you get nothing. Yeah, but we've lived without. That's not. You're going to live without just a little bit longer. But why? God gives a principle that is throughout the Word of God. The first always belongs to God. Can I remind you? God deserves first of everything. The fact of the matter, you go throughout Scripture, and this principle is so evident. Everything is killed, all the livestock, all the people destroyed, except vessels of gold and silver that are given to the treasury of God. You might remember, let me share some verses with you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 say this. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know what the principle is? In Proverbs, and we read this and we're familiar with it, but it says, honor me, give me the first, and I'll make sure that you just explode. Everything you need is taken care of. Think about that. They're coming into Jericho, and all they got to do is reach down and pick it up and take it with them. And God says, no. And if you leave all this gold and all this fine clothes and all these things, I'll make sure you're taken care of. What a temptation. What a rough situation. Yet most of the people follow. Not only that, Genesis chapter 14, I love when you go back in the Old Testament and you see Abraham. In Genesis 14, verse 18, there's a story there of Abraham. And after he goes back to battle and comes back from really saving Lot and that whole situation. In verse 18, it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. I mean, all the way back in Genesis, when Abram wins this big battle, when he gets the spoil, he first of all tithes to the man called the priest of God. I don't have time to go into Melchizedek and the symbolism, but great picture there of Jesus Christ. Great picture there of the priesthood. Wonderful scenario. But here's Abraham, and he even knew way back in Genesis, hey, the first belongs to God. You get to Proverbs, and it's said by the psalmist and the writer, hey, the first belongs unto God. What about that famous chapter in Malachi chapter 3? Will you rob God? You know, remember that? Verses 9 and 10. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse. Why? because it belongs to God. And as you go throughout the Old and the New Testament, there's this principle that says this: God deserves first. And the whole picture here is simple. Jericho, this great city, they're not getting anything. They're going to win the battle, take some stuff from the treasury, and God gets everything. Why would you do that? Well, let me tell you why. And first things first, let me remind you, God should be honored first and foremost in all things. You know, we have customs, and there's customs across the land. I was thinking about that earlier this morning as I was thinking about different customs and how different people are honored, and several things came to my mind real quick. And I thought about this. I said, normally we give the best or first piece to guests and people in authority. In other words, you know, you have a meal, and when we have guest preachers in, normally I'll say, okay, folks, brother and Mrs. So-and-so, go first. And everybody goes, well, yeah, why? Well, they're our guests. Maybe they're the person in, you know, we're placing in a place of, you know, honor. You know, being a guest and our guest speaker, we're like, you get to go first. It's a custom here. When people come to our house, normally we have guests. Normally we say, well, guests eat first. You know, so they come into your house, and that's one of our customs, is we let guests go first. And normally I talk to them real close and go with them, but guests go first. You know what I'm saying? It's the way it is. If you have a normal seating arrangement, and you've got the dad normally, and I don't know how you do it today, but a custom in America would be dad's at the head of the table. He's the head. He deserves the honor. And then you've got mom and the kids, and normally if you have a guest at the other side, what do you want to call it, the other head, the guest normally sits there. And you'll bring them in and say, well, will you sit here? You know what? We want to give you a place of honor. So in other words, throughout, we have different things that we honor. When a bride gets married, we all stand in what? In honor. Right? We wish them respect. When we read the Bible at Central Baptist Church, we stand. Why? We're showing honor. What are you saying, preacher? One of the greatest ways we show honor to God, do you realize, is he gets first. Throughout scripture, and God was given the principle here, you're going to win the battle. But now listen, I want first. I got to tell you this, folks. It's very important to understand. Even in the Old Testament, this principle is here. God has blessed us so much. Amen. I mean, he has provided. I often say, out of the sovereignty of God, I was born in America, and I thank God for that. I'm telling you, with all the woes taking place in America, I'd still rather live in America than anywhere else in the world. Number one, because I can't speak any other language. The fact of the matter is, you look at the blessings of God upon this nation, and I believe because the nation did serve God, the nation did honor God, the nation did follow God for a time being, and God has blessed this nation, I'm thinking, wow, I could have been born anywhere else, but I'm born in the richest nation on the face of the earth. For that alone, you should say, thank you, God. And then God comes to people like us, a rich people. You are rich, okay? We have to go over this periodically because people look at me funny and go, I'm not rich, preacher. I only make this much money. Listen, trust me, you don't want to leave America, okay? You need to thank God whatever you're making. You make more than the rest of the people around the world. So the fact of the matter is we have all this. But you know what's amazing? For some reason, rich people don't like to get rid of their money. And I'm thinking, man, we have so much. And all God says is, I just want the first. And I'm going to tell you, the 90% that you're going to get to keep is way more than you'd have anywhere else in the world. And yet for some reason, Americans, 8% actually give 10% to God of those who profess to be Christians. And here's the problem that I have with that. Are you ready? Wasn't even going to be a message on tithing, but this is good. You know what the problem is? You know why you give to God? It's an honor. It's a sign of respect. It's showing that, hey, we revere you. We glorify you. We uplift you. We give you the place that you deserve. You've requested it. You deserve it. We go into battle. When we give him the first, we're saying, God, we know that we won the battle because of you. Thank you. Here you go. Well, we're not fighting battles like that, preacher. You go to work, don't you? You got a job, don't you? You go to work, you got a job. You're saying, God, thank you for the job. Thank you for providing for my family. I give you honor. You know what's exciting about it too? It was a joy for them to do it. When you honor somebody that's important, it's never a pain. It is something that you want to do, you desire to do. You can't wait to do it. And in this story here, we'll get into it next week, everybody in the whole tribe except one guy follows it. I'm talking 1.5 million, 2 million people go, yes, God deserves this. Look what he's done. We believe that he's going to take us even farther. We're going to honor our God. I was talking to Brother B, and he said something that amazed me. We're down there with David in the hospital. He said his treasurer told him the other day that almost every single family in the church tithes. That's unheard of. That is unheard of. They said, for the best of recollection, literally all but maybe one or two, 42 families, everybody says, we honor God. Let me tell you something. You know why you give to God? You give to him because you honor him. All the other reasons. I don't want to rob God. All that's all wonderful, and we preach that. But let me tell you, number one, you ought to thank God for what you have and what he's done in your life. And one of the greatest ways you do that is you say, here you go, God. Let me give back. And man, I'm excited about it. Why? Because I want to lift you up. There's a second reason for that. They did it because it was an act of faith. It's an act of faith. You see, you give to God because what they were saying is this. God said, you're going to defeat the whole land. All I'm asking is the first city from you. When you win it, I want everything wiped out. Okay, we're setting an example here. I want all the good stuff, the gold, the silver, to go in my treasury. Okay, you're going to give that to me. Nothing else is kept. Nothing. You're going to burn everything else. We're setting an example. We're setting a statue. Everything else is gone. This is what you keep. Wow. Well, will the next city have this much? It didn't. It was a little AI. And will we still be able to make it without this? Pretty big people. We haven't even built our tents yet in our city yet. I mean, how are we going to make it? I mean, there's all the food here. We just take this stuff. We could take this clothes. Could last us a long time. And God says, yeah, no. I want you by faith to trust that I'll take care of you. You know the other exciting thing about putting God first and doing first things first? It's a step of faith. It's a wonderful step of faith. I'm convinced without a shadow of a doubt that probably the greatest acid test of real faith and real spirituality is whether we're going to put God first or not. I am convinced. You know, the Old Testament, Exodus 13, 18, there was a custom the Jews had. It went farther than giving their money. Are you ready? They were obligated to give their firstborn son. Jewish custom. Now, if you already had someone else born, you didn't have to do that. But if your first child coming out of the womb was a son, according to the book of Exodus, that son belonged unto God. You know why? God says, all the first belong unto me. As a matter of fact, it's a beautiful picture when you go back and read Jewish custom. Actually, that son belonged to the service of the Lord. But of course, we know the Levites were set up as that tribe. So he says, so what did you do? I mean, was it mandated? No, there's a ceremony that would take place. You would go before a priest, and often you would take 5 shekels. But there was another custom where the dad would take gold and silver and put it in a bowl. He would bring it before the priest with the mom, and they would stand there. The priest would take the baby and ask the mom, have you ever had another male, female, or a miscarriage? No, sir. This is your son? Yes, sir. Your first son, nor the children? Yes, sir. And look at the dad and say, is that correct, sir? Is this your first son? No other children at all. And if you had multiple wives, it was the first son of each wife. Say, yes, sir, it is. Do you wish to redeem him? And the father would always say, yes, we do. And the father would then look at the priest and say, take whatever you want. And this bowl full of gold and silver, the priest had the choice to take as much as they wanted to redeem the child because the child was that precious to them. But oh, what a great picture of redemption for Jesus Christ, who came, and guess what? He redeemed us. And instead of taking the price of being let go and being set free, he said, no, I'll pay the price for everybody. What a great picture. That's what he did for us. And all he wants us to do is to honor him with our first. All he wants us to do is give back to him that which he deserves. And by faith say that we believe that by giving you this, that we'll do better than we ever could have done on our own. Why? Because you've said it and you've proved it in your word. Can I just challenge you tonight? Can we not put God first once again? I tell you what, it is a scourge to Christianity today to me. Anytime you mention money, we normally do that in January, and some of you don't show up on purpose. I've caught you. I know that. But normally we do stewardship in January. We'll talk about it. But I'm still amazed, no matter what. We got word, I can't remember when, somebody said, well, you know, that's all they're doing is talking about money. I went back. I think we gave 2 messages. All of January, 2 messages on money. The rest was on stewardship and serving the Lord. And I'm thinking, seriously? Let me just tell you that. You don't want to ever come to me and say that all we ever do is preach on money. You do not want to do that. I'm just helping you, okay, as your pastor. Don't ever have that conversation with me, okay? You're saying why? Because my one thought process would be this. You have a problem with God. I'm just going to help you real quick. You are so giving yourself away. If you have a problem with preaching on money, the best thing you could do is keep it secret. You see, because God already knows, but I'm just telling you right now, to your pastor, you're not going to have any mercy here. Because I know what we preach. And I know we're not here for the money. We're here for Jesus Christ. And I know that one of the ways he said to honor him was we're to give him the first of everything. In the olden days, when people didn't make a lot of money, they gave the first of their fruits. And if they had hay, they gave the first of their hay. If they had animals, they gave the first of their animals. They'd literally bring them into the church, gardens and animals, bring them into the church building saying, here you go. This belongs to God. Because they took literal. We're going to honor God with the first of everything that we have. No, we don't sneer at that, folks. I'll tell you something right now. We ought to count it an honor that we can give something to our God. It should be a joy that we can give something to our God. And so please, please don't complain about anybody that ever talked about giving to the Lord. The only thing out of our mouth should be, yes, Lord, you deserve it. Yes, Lord, you need more. Not, what can I get by with? Or I can't believe you mentioned that tonight. Once again, don't say it. Okay, say to yourself or someone else that'll agree. Because you and I give ourselves away. First things first. There's another part of this that I thought was interesting. Joshua, as you go down in Joshua chapter 6, as he said, this city belongs unto God. It is his. Everything in verse 21 will be utterly destroyed. Verse 22, and Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. I just want to give a note here. I think not as an honorable to give our first to the Lord. I think it's an honor to keep our word as well. I'm going to be real honest with you. Okay, and we're not going to give a lot on that, but we're living in a day and age where that is not done like it should. And I understand contracts. I understand those things are necessary today in the generation we live in, but they're necessary because people don't keep their word. And matter of fact, if I even mention this, this generation has no idea. As a matter of fact, even my generation is foreign to us. They used to make deals by shaking hands. Folks, that's history now. You realize that? That's something you see on the History Channel. In ancient times, they made an agreement and shook hands. We'd all go, ooh, really? I mean, it just doesn't happen. You got to have contracts and lawyers. You got to have everything written down. Why? People don't keep their word. You know what the Bible says? Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Can I just help you as Christians? I'm just going to tell you right now. Not only is it honorable to give God first, but it's honorable to keep your word. In fact, he said, swear not by heaven or by earth or by anything. Why? He says, you don't have to use someone else's name. Use your own name and just keep your word. I praise God they kept their word. And when they said, Rahab will spare you, they did it. But there's one other aspect I want to see you, show you tonight that's honorable. It's honorable to give God first. It's honorable to keep your word. But there's another aspect I thought was interesting. Rahab is a harlot. Now, let me just tell you in Jewish custom what that means. She deserves to be stoned to death. That's their law. But Rahab has just spared two spies. And the spies said, spare our life, we'll spare your life, and everybody you bring into your home. Wow, we got a problem now. And actually, I love this because it's a beautiful picture. The Bible doesn't go all the way into it, but if you read it, it's there. You see what he's saying? Well, the Bible's not a novel, okay? The Bible's not a history book. It's not giving every aspect. That's why you read it and you put everything together. Interesting, as she's rescued, we already read the verse, but down in verse 25, it says, and Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot alive, and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. Because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Man, I love this. You know what this is a picture of? And it's great. Aren't you glad that no matter how rotten, how bad somebody is or was, when they accept Jesus Christ, everything's forgiven. In a culture that normally would say, nope. We're getting rid of you. You're wiped out like everybody else. But because she turned and, like I said, literally became a proselyte to Judaism, they accepted her and kept her into the tribe even to the day of this writing. Matter of fact, futuristic studies show us she became very prominent, became very important in a certain lineage that you might be aware of. And the fact of the matter is she was influential and God used her in such a great way to bring about Jesus Christ. Oh, I praise God for that. Why? God takes anybody who will repent. Amen. And he takes us, can I just remind you that you and I, as much as we look at her and say, what a wretched lifestyle. Can I remind, some of you have been saved a long time, and you've forgotten what it was like. Outside of the grace of God, all of us are just as bad as Rahab. And you got to remember something, folks. We were saved from our sins. And we got a new spirit put inside us. We need to thank God. But now here's the thing I want to get to. There's an honorable thing. From that point on, are you ready? Rahab and her father's house are now taken care of as part of the tribe. What are you saying, preacher? Christianity teaches something that's interesting. It's an honorable thing for you to take care of your family. Matter of fact, your own. As a matter of fact, it's mandated in Scripture. If a man doesn't take care of his family, truthfully, the Bible says he's worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. It is so strong in Scripture that a Christian man would care for his family. I mean, it's a given. That's how strong it is. That's what you do. As a matter of fact, your first responsibility, first things first, is actually your family. You know, the Bible tells us to love our enemies and do good unto them. If it's telling me to love my enemies and do good unto them, how much more should I do to my family? Galatians 6:10 tells us. Why don't you turn there real quick? Galatians 6:10. Wonderful scripture verse. If I have it right. If not, it's still a wonderful scripture verse. Yes. Galatians 6:10, I love what Paul says here. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. That's a great, great part of the verse. But look at the next part. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I love that. Not only is it an honor to give God first, it's an honor to keep your word, which, man, we could do a whole message on that. But it is an honorable thing to take care of those who are part of the family. Now, I think, and I want to lay the foundation real quick and just be a minute. I think we understand that from the aspect of this. You know, I have a wife and two kids, and they're my primary responsibility. I'm to make sure they have a house and food and some clothing and do everything I can to provide for them to the best of my ability. That's my job. I would be derelict if I didn't do that to the best of my ability. That is my responsibility. Not that tough times don't come, but it's my job to do everything I can to take care of them. But the implication is stronger here. See, Rahab wasn't originally a Jew. She was engrafted in. Ah, yes. Just like you and I weren't born Christians, we were engrafted in through the redemption of Jesus Christ, through his shed blood. And we now have what's called a Christian family. And can I just help you? We have a responsibility, and it is an honor for us to take care of each other. It is. I hope part of what you do is when you find out of a need in the body of Christ, that you're active doing everything you can to help out. It's part of what we do as a body. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. As a church, we take first priority to people inside of our church. As leadership, if somebody comes and has a need, first priority is, are you a member of Central Baptist Church? He said, wait a second, preacher. I thought we're supposed to do good unto all men. We are. But first priority is people that are a member. That's the way it is. My first priority is my family. That's not a hard stretch. So if that's my family and my first responsibility is my wife and kids, and I'm to do good unto all men as I can, but I take care of them, well, then why isn't our first responsibility to the house of God? Matter of fact, as I read Galatians 6, and really throughout Scripture, it's very clear. Do good unto all men, but especially, that's a key word, especially make sure a priority is this, those of the household of faith. In other words, as you're helping everybody out, don't abandon the household of faith. They take a priority. I'll just be forthright with you. Churches are what I call targets for what people consider ATMs. You say, what's that, preacher? You know, you have an ATM card, we need money, you go and you put it in, and you get money out. Why? Because you put money in. And if you put your ATM card out and no money comes out, most likely it's because you didn't put any money in. It only really works, you got money in the account. What's interesting, over the years I've noticed that for some reason, there's this philosophy in all communities that churches owe everybody. It's amazing. The funnest story I heard was from another preacher. He said he had a lady call and say, hey, could you help me with, I can't remember what it was, with some bill or so forth. And the preacher, for whatever reason, caught on and said, well, ma'am, can I ask you a question? And she said, sure. He goes, do you frequent the bars? She goes, why, yes, I do. And the preacher said, well, have you called the bartender for help? I was like to say, she got mad, the preacher said. Got upset. I thought it was pretty crafty. Wish I would have thought of that. You said, why? Well, stop and think about it. Hey, you go to your bar, you spend all your money, and then when you run out, you go to the church and say, hey, can you give me some money? And when the preacher said no, she got mad. I can't tell you how many times people have gotten mad. They'll come to the church and say, I need some money. And I'm always like, so? I mean, excuse me? With a mental, yeah, I just do whatever I want, spend whatever I want, go to church, and you pay my bills. That's the way it is. We have one lady, she'll call frequently, about once, not real frequently, probably about once a year. She gets on a financial strait and has never come to Central Baptist Church. She has a couple kids that visit every once in a while. And I'm like, ma'am, you need to come to church, you need to come to church. No, busy, don't have time. Runs out of money. preacher, she called me the other day. She had like 2 hours to pay her electric bill. I went, well, ma'am, we don't operate that way. Well, yeah, but you don't understand. I've called everybody. I got to have this money. Well, ma'am, normally you know like 10 days in advance, and you're giving me 2 hours. But you understand, I have no other choice. And I did tell her, I go, well, ma'am, are you going to church anywhere now? Well, no, I don't have time. I was just real honest with her. I said, let me help you. I'm going to be real honest with you. If you're a member of Central Baptist Church, I said, we probably do everything we can to help you out. I mean, I'd really seriously look at it. And I was just speaking to her transparently. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nowhere in the Bible that says it's my obligation to take care of that for you. Nowhere. I don't know where everybody got that, but it's not in there. Okay? The fact of the matter is, though, but when someone's a member, they're a part of the family. Well, hey, sometimes we do help people outside of the church in real needs and real scenarios. And we've prayed at it. We've looked at it and said, they need some help. As a church, we're going to help them. More times than not, you know the stance we're taking? Help those inside. You say, why? It's an honorable thing to take care of your family. And today, when everybody wants the help of the church, but nobody wants a commitment to the church, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that picture. There's something extremely wrong that everybody wants the benefits of Christianity with no commitments. It's kind of like having a bank account. You want the money in, but you want the money out, but you don't want to put any money in. You know, I've never seen anybody go into a bank and go, excuse me, I tried your card and it didn't work. Well, I'm sorry, ma'am, let me look at your account. What's your name? You actually are overdraft by $35. Well, excuse me, you gave me a card. I mean, just go and put it in, you get money out. Well, no, man, the way it works is you put money in. Well, I did that a month ago. Put a couple hundred bucks in. Yeah, I know, man, but the principle is this. You keep putting money in, then when you need it, you take it out. Well, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You gave me a card, I should be able to use it whenever I want and just get money out. Wouldn't that be nice? I hope so. By the way, if you want to invent that, I'll be your first customer. That'd be great. Unlimited money. Yeah, I'll take 20. Oh, I have to go 50 today. You know, did you deposit money? No, they just give it to you. Now, all of us say, preach, that's so silly. Nobody would do that. Why do we do that in church? Everybody loves the benefit of a church family that loves you, that's there for you, helping you with weddings and funerals and all types of activities. And man, I want all that. And I want them to pray for me whenever I have need and financially help me. And you saved, you baptized, you're serving? Oh, no. Well, let me help you. I can just give you a little bit of a hint here. God blesses his church. He takes care of his church. It's an honor to be a part of the house of God. And it's honorable. And don't take the message wrong. It's not wrong to help people outside, and we do. But let me help you. The Bible says it's an honorable thing to take care of your own. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When there's a real need, there's nothing like having a Christian family. I can't tell you the number of testimonies where people said, preacher, without this church, I don't know what we would have done. Amen. I'm serious. But I'm going to tell you, it's one of those things where you kind of get out what you put in. And I'm just going to be honest as pastor. We'll try to help everybody that's a member. Let's just be real, though. Boy, if someone's just a member by name on a roll, you know, we don't see them but once or twice a year, hardly ever come. You got to really question a commitment level there. I'm not saying we're not going to help at all. That's a whole lot different from somebody who comes Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Boy, they tithe, they give, they're involved. And all of a sudden a need comes in their life. And the Bible says it's an honorable thing for Christians to take care of Christians. The way it ought to be. When it's appropriate, when it's right. Now, that's a broad topic, so let me help you. We won't have time to preach all that. There are boundaries. If you're going to go out and gamble all your money and come and say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm faithful in church, and gamble all your money away, we're going to say, we love you. You need some help. Okay? And we're going to require counseling and all kinds of stuff. Once again, there's boundaries. We're not foolish. But the fact of the matter is this. It's honorable. It's honorable to give God his part. It's honorable to keep your word. It's honorable to take care of the Christian faith. Why? First things first, and then you can add the rest. The fact of the matter is this. We need more honor. You know, I probably should have preached this on Memorial Day. I was thinking about this. I enjoy Memorial Day. I enjoy the opportunity to honor our military. I'm going to be real honest with you. One of the worst things to me in American history is the way we treated the Vietnam vets when they came back. I'm going to tell you something right now. That is a mark against America. you know, those poor men and women signed up, and they're going over there, and it's not that they're wanting to fight a battle, but our government said this is a battle we need to fight. We're not getting into the politics of that. They went and laid down their lives, and they're doing it because the government told them to, and they wanted to protect us and saying, this is what we need to do. And they come back, and they're being called names and baby killers and all this kind of stuff. That disgusts me every time I hear that. But nothing excites me more than the spirit we have today. And to see people, I mean, saluting of the flag and the standing and giving preference and honor to a military man. I saw some of the commercials for American Airlines. And it was touching. I mean, they're letting them go first, and people are standing up and saluting. And I'm like, you know what? That's the way it ought to be. I mean, it really is. They ought to be given respect. Why? For what they do for us. And I thought about that. I said, man, what a great time to show honor. And then I guess the thought just came to me, what about the honor of Christians? And that is a great thing, and it ought to be there. But I'm telling you, we ought to have that much respect for the things of God. For God and the things of God just as much. And for one another. Why? Because it's an honorable thing to do. So I hope you think about that. Put that in prayer if you would. And as you look at Joshua, and as we go through it, remember, God deserves our first. He deserves right off the top. Why? He deserves the honor. He deserves the honor. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you once again for your word. We thank you for Joshua, Lord, in the life. And as we take a trip, a journey through the different battles, the different scenarios, Lord, and we see the pictures into the Christian life, Lord, I pray that you would help it to set strong with us. Lord, our salute to you is the way that we put you first, the way that we honor you with our first fruits. Our salute, Lord, really, in the way that we gain honor is by keeping our word and taking care of other believers the way that we should, Lord, in a biblical way. Now, there's boundaries. There's different things there. We didn't get all the way into it this evening. But, Lord, the fact of the matter is we should do good unto all men as we have opportunity, but especially those of the household of faith. So, Lord, I pray for those looking for jobs. I pray for those in great need that, Lord, you begin to work in their lives and help provide for them, Lord, in a way that will bring honor to you and help them to seek you out. And we thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, we invite you to stop and visit. We're located 1 mile north of Ponca at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to get to know you. But until that time, God bless you. Have a great week, and we thank you for listening.